People need to hear it. They need to hear the power of God. They need to hear the deliverance that he can bring, the freedom. Sometimes, and other times, it's a process. Sometimes it's a process that we have to work through. So either way, be encouraged. Okay, so my intent to the message for today was to talk about love, to talk about mercy, compassion. And I didn't really have any idea on how this would kind of play out a few weeks ago when I thought I would finish Daniel 9 last week, and I knew that all this stuff that I was going to be doing on prophecy was going to be post Passover, because I thought I might finish it before Passover. And as I got to looking at all this stuff, I said, there's no way I can get this done in a couple weeks. There's no way. I don't think you guys fully understand the foundation that I've laid for the last year or more on all of this stuff. And then to kind of bring it all together, I said, you know what? We're coming into Passover. Pastor Scott's going to come speak next week. I have no idea what he's planning on talking about. But the following week, we're going to talk about Passover. And it's why I asked you guys if I had taught about the Passover story in the crossing with Joshua and how it really was a foreshadow of what Messiah was going to come do. And I said, you know, it's really been upon my heart to just talk about love, because it's the simplicity of the story and what we believe. And there was a video, my friend Ibarz. If you're friends with Ibarz, he lives up in the Seattle area. Keep telling him, I said, when are you going to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah? Because, yeah, I hear the stories. He tells me all the time. He goes, these people have lost their mind up here. It's just everywhere is craziness. And but he posted this video, and I don't know who the guy is in the video. I didn't look up his name, but it was just a short little, I don't know, it was like a 30 or 40-second clip. And it really got me thinking. And the guy was, he was Irish. He had something Irish, Scottish, something like that. And where's Naomi? I was going to say, they all sound the same over there, but she's not here today, right? I like, you guys know. But, so he was telling the story. He said, the thief on the cross, he goes, I can't wait to get to the other side and meet this guy. He goes, because I want to ask him the question, what was it that changed? What he said, because just a few minutes earlier, a few hours earlier, he goes, you were cussing this guy. He goes, but then all of a sudden something changed and you said, remember me. And he goes, I could just see that when he got to heaven, that an angel walked up to him and says, okay, it's his story. And he says, what are you doing here? And the thief on the cross goes, I don't know. He goes, well, how'd you get here? He goes, I don't know. He goes, what do you mean you don't know? He goes, I don't know. And the angel's like, I got to go get the supervisor angel, right? And he comes back, and the supervisor angel says, well, how'd you get here? And he goes, I don't know. He says, what do you mean you don't know? He goes, I don't know. He said, well, let's get something straight first. He goes, where are you on the doctrine of justification by faith? And he goes, never heard of it. He said, okay. He goes, where are you on the inerrancy of Scripture? Never heard of it. He goes, well, then how'd you get here? He goes, I don't know. He goes, all I know is the man on the middle cross said I could come. And I was just like, ugh. And the whole time the guy's laughing because it's a funny story. And I'm sitting there going, that's what all the story is. It's just that simple. And we make it so hard that it is that simple. The man on the middle cross said I could come. That's it. And if that's all we ever did, and that's all we ever told, then that's all that ever needs to be told. And we do this here because the reason I felt like I needed to bring something up about getting us in a sense of a refocus. And I know sometimes that some of this stuff doesn't apply, but as I have often caveat, because I connect to so many different Hebrew Roots organizations and because I see all of their posts and hear their conversations, that it's why I say I stand so strong and take such a firm stance about making sure that we keep that focus. It's why we brought communion into the service when we started this place, because we were not going to ever forget why we were here. And we often hear and we talk about the love of God. And that's all that's required today. So we don't need the commandments, right? We hear the story where, what are the two greatest commandments? The man that came to Jesus. And Jesus answered, says, to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And the man said, you answered well. But then it goes on to say, he wanted to justify himself. And so he says, so who's my neighbor? And that's when Yeshua began to tell the story of the Good Samaritan. And as the Good Samaritan goes, the man was going down the street. He was on his way. He came across some thieves and some robbers, and they beat him. They took all of his stuff and left him for dead. And when, as a priest was coming by, he walked by one side and stood away from the man. And then a Levite came from the other side. But then it says a Good Samaritan came and saw. But then it says that the Good Samaritan, and you have to understand contextually what's happening here. I'm actually getting off of my own tangent here for a second. The Samaritans were hated people. There's a reason that Yeshua chose a Good Samaritan. It wasn't that he was purposefully picking on the priest or the Levites, but he was saying a Good Samaritan. And when the Good Samaritan saw the man, it says he had compassion on the man, and he stopped. And it says he bound up his wounds, he put him on his own animal, took him to the inn, and told the man that I'll be back in a few days, and whatever you spend on your own, let me know, and I'll pay the bill. And what we tend to do, and what we hear a lot from in our community when we try to talk to people outside of our community, it's, well, I don't need all that stuff anymore. I just have to love God and love my neighbor. And though there's an aspect of that that's true, what do we hear counter? Well, if you love God, the word says you'll keep his commandments. So if you're not keeping Shabbat, you don't love God. If you're not keeping kosher, you don't love God. Right? That's what we hear from some in that community. And I apologize for saying what I said a few weeks ago about the Asbury revival. Please don't go hit anybody in the face and say that my pastor said it's okay to hit somebody in the face. For those who aren't familiar, there was the Messianic community that was railing against what was happening in Asbury, say this is not of God because they're not using Yeshua, they're not using Yahweh, they're not celebrating Sabbath. And those are the people that I really think it's okay at times to get tough with. But don't punch them. But we also tend to do is go, well, let me tell you what that means in Greek. Let me help you understand the difference by what we're doing, because in Greek, see, you got to understand agape love, and then not the phileo love, not the Philadelphia type love, not that love about the brother. We need to understand it from a God level. And so then we break down all of these different meanings, and then we go, no. We're Hebrew roots people. We're ahava. We're not agape. We talk about love from a Hebraic perspective. But what is love? It's compassion. Love is doing. Love is not a feeling. Love is not an emotion. If you aren't doing, then you have no love. And then the Hebrew roots people go, but you got to keep Sabbath. If you're not keeping his commandments, you don't love him. Ay, ay, ay. Those are other discussions. What does it mean, though? Love is doing. And I wanted to share a couple stories of that happened with Yeshua, and one of them was the woman that came to Jesus, and the woman found him at the house. And she stood behind him and was just weeping uncontrollably. So many tears were coming out that they were landing on his feet. And she went, took her hair, and dried the tears off his feet. And like a good religious person, the man at the house said, if he knew in his mind what kind of woman this was, she can't be a prophet because he would not allow such a woman. And then Yeshua tells the story. And he says, let's say there was two men that owed great debts. One, say, 10 bucks. The other one, $1,000,000. But yet the creditor forgave them both. He said, which one would show love? And the guy says, well, of course, the one that was forgiven much. And he begins to explain that this woman who had many great sins was seeking the mercy of God. But what we tend to do is go, well, see, if you want to properly understand that context, you have to realize that the kind of table that they were laying on was a U-shaped table, and that the woman was standing behind. No, can we remember that the man in the middle cross said, daughter, your sins are forgiven you, and not worry about what kind of table it was? Not worry about whether or not it was contextually right, whether or not the linguistics were just right. Can we remember the primary purpose of this story was your sins are forgiven you, and let's rejoice in that? What about the man at the pool? So come on, Pastor, where are you going with all this? What about the man at the pool? The man who wanted to be thrown in, who says he could never get to the water in time, and Yeshua comes to him and says that he's going to heal him, asked him. And he told him to get up. I really hope that I know nobody in here does. But the examples I'm giving today are a little bit extreme, but I wonder if sometimes we've forgotten the Melissas. Have we, on our way to church, because we can't seem to get up on time, we go, no, I made it on time. Okay, well, how many flat tires did you drive past? How many broken people did you drive past so you could make it on time? See, because that's the argument that the counter that people make when they go, well, see, the Pharisee or the Levite, he couldn't touch him because he'd have been late for service, and then he wouldn't be able to do what God called him to do, and he wouldn't have been able to fill his role in the temple. But God called him to show mercy. God called him to show compassion. And so then here we have the man that was on the bed. And Yeshua tells him to pick up his bed and walk. He picks up his bed and walk, and they come to him and ask him, what are you doing carrying your bed? He says, the man told me I could get up and walk. The man on the middle cross told me I could get up and walk. But come on, Pastor, now. You got to understand that this man was violating one of the 39 prohibitions on Shabbat. And to properly understand this story, you have to go back to the Mishnah, and you have to properly understand these 39 provisions. And if you don't understand these, the man got up and could walk. And the people knew who he was, and they came to him, and they said, not, praise God, you are walking. What are you doing carrying your bed? But we got a better one. The man born blind. So Jesus heals the man. How does he heal him? He spits on him. He spits and rubs some stuff in his eye. And then the man's healed. He has his vision. And then somebody that knew the man came to him and said, you can see. And he's like, yeah, well, who did this? Some guy named Jesus. And they took him to the Pharisees. Why did they take this man to the Pharisees? Why didn't we just rejoice in the fact that this man that they knew was blind and everybody knew he was blind, they took him to the Pharisees. And what do? The same thing they did to the man in the bed. They go, who did this to you? A guy named Jesus. Well, what sorcery did he use? Because this man does not follow God. They said, you weren't born blind. What do you mean I wasn't born blind? Everybody knows I've been born blind. They said, where's his parents? And they go through this whole ritual and they make the case and they go, they're asking his parents, was he been blind since birth? And I love the response from the guy when he goes, what, you keep asking me, what, do you want to be his disciples too? Right? And they get really angry. They're like, no, we follow Moses and we don't follow this man because of all of the sorcery. And they said, in all of Israel, we've never heard of anybody being born blind. What do we do? Well, see, if you want to properly understand the context, you have to realize that there was a tradition in the first century that said the firstborn son had healing in his spittle. So what Yeshua was really telling him was that he was the firstborn son of God. And he was performing this miracle that had never been seen in all of Israel because it was one of the messianic miracles. It was one that only the Messiah could perform. Could we just rejoice in the fact that a man was blind and the man on the middle cross said he could see? Can we pull back from some of the stuff we spend a lot of time going off in the weeds and just praise God and just worship God and get back to the simplicity of the gospel? I love those discussions. I love, and those things are true in a deeper level that we can talk about. But when we get into that stuff and we start running down all of those rabbit holes, we forget that people are healed, that people are delivered, that people are set free, and that was his primary purpose. I love what we do here. I could not go back to regular church. I'm not knocking it. It's because I believe a revelation that God gave me in his connection with his Sabbath and with his feast and seeing all of these things make the story of the cross 10 times more powerful to me. That it's not just some random event that happened, but it was prophesied, and all of these things do play in that. But it was the same thing that the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and a lot of the religious leaders of the day did. We tend to overlook that he came and looked at somebody that was blind, that couldn't walk, and was bound, and he freed them. I think that needs to be our focus. All of these things that we are doing and all these things that we seek to do are the secondary issues. And it's why I get so animated about some of the things in the Messianic community, because they have, I would argue, have walked into a spirit. The same spirit that can't see the miracle that Yeshua was doing and can't see what God's doing, and they get blinded by the things that were happening, like at Asbury and other places that happen around the country and around the world, because it doesn't fit their narrative. When the Good Samaritan looked at the man, you know, and it says he had compassion on him, and this is where I will use a definition. The word that's used there to describe compassion is the word that describes the bowels. It means that when he looked at this man, he hurt for this man. He felt it. He didn't sit there and go, oh, that's a crackhead. Oh, they probably deserve that. That means he saw this individual, well, he shouldn't have been in this part of town anyway. He deserved to be beat to death. No, he looked at someone that was a creation of God, and he hurt for him. And he felt it. And when people say, well, where are the things, and we want to get into this stuff about, you know, revivals and the outpouring of God's Spirit, I think the key is a hunger for God, but a compassion for his people. I think too many times when we want to see the hand of God move on a situation, it's because we want to say, look what our magic man in the sky can do. And that's not what he did when he came. You go and look. The word for compassion is used over and over and over and over again in the Gospels. Every time Yeshua came to somebody, whether it was somebody hungry and he made the loaves and the fish, whether it was somebody that was sick, that was bound, whatever it is, it says he had compassion upon them. He felt for his people. He didn't say, look at what I can do. As a matter of fact, when he did some of those things that he didn't want it to be found, he goes, not yet. Because what he was more concerned about was the leper, the blind person, the crippled person, the person that was bound up on drugs or whatever it is. And that's the one thing that I have been begging for, is to have a rebirth of love. What's funny is, I wasn't even sure how I was going to go because I had to get a tissue ready. I used to be pretty hard. I remember before I even got saved, I didn't watch some of these classics growing up and stuff. And I remember one of the ones that my wife said, she goes, you haven't seen, you know, Wizard of Oz or whatever. I was like, nope, nope. And she goes, like, you never seen Old Yeller? I was like, nope. So we watched Old Yeller. And I was sitting there and I was like, so shoot the dog. It's a dog. And now I just think about it. I go, it's not the dog, man. Why'd they shoot the dog? Right? And it, Matt and I, we went hunting. And he shot a deer, and it didn't run. It kind of fell in front of us, and I was like, let's turn around. We don't want to watch this part. To develop that level of love and compassion and mercy for people, I think, is the key. We need to remember that in everything that we're doing here. I'm never going to change doing what we're doing here. We're still going to always meet here on Shabbat. I love that. You know, actually, with irony, is one of my favorite times of Shabbat is when we leave here. You're like, what? Well, that's cold. No, it's because at the end of the day, I love to go home and just even relax even more because I've been spending the day on the day that God set aside, that His Spirit is on, and just to be refreshed and restored, communing with the people of God, eating, hearing the Word, studying the Word. It just refreshes our souls. So that part's never going to change. Just saying that we need to remember why we're doing what we're doing and need to have the compassion eyes, the compassion focus that Yeshua did. And one of the things that Billy touched on is why He came. And He had to become one of us to deliver us from this thing. And He came and showed us how to walk it out. Let's just make sure that we don't ever lose sight of that and really pray and seek. Let's make that one of the things we talk about on our Thursday prayer days. Let's pray that we never have such a cold heart towards anybody, that we always have compassion and love and just go, you know what, Lord bless them. You know. Now, there also comes a time where a whip has to be woven. Sometimes people have got to be confronted. And, you know, that's one thing that we miss. Yeshua showed mercy on the people that were blinded and in ignorance, but the people who should have known better, He got on pretty hard. And sometimes that's necessary. But we tend to be hard towards the people who are broken. And we tend to be more patient with the people that should know better. And it's supposed to be the opposite. Heavenly Father, we bless You and we just thank You for Your Sabbath. We thank You for this day. And Father, we pray that as we say and we want and desire for the presence of the Lord to fall upon us, we pray that the presence of compassion would fall upon us, that we would have new eyes and a new heart, and that when we see a person that is broken, that is wounded, that is blinded, that is crippled, that in our innermost being we ache, because part of Your creation is wounded. Help us to develop that heart of compassion that Yeshua told us that we should have. That if we're going to say that we love You and love our neighbors, that we have that level of compassion that Your Word speaks about and what it means to truly love and to look at them as You would look at them, Father God. Not with an ounce of judgment, but with a ton of compassion. Please rewire us to any preconceptions or pre-taught ideas that we have allowed to mold us, to callous us, and to really develop that heart that You came and You demonstrated through Yeshua. We bless You and thank You for this day. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.